It just got easier and more affordable for some trans and non-binary residents to get gender-affirming health care in Massachusetts. That's thanks to changes by MassHealth. Effective September 1st, they issued updates to what's considered medically necessary in gender-affirming health care, and that means they have expanded what MassHealth will cover. Here to talk more about these changes in coverage and what they could mean for our trans and non-binary communities is Dallas Dukar. She's a nurse practitioner and CEO of the organization Trans Health Northampton, which provides physical and mental health services to trans, non-binary, and gender-diverse children and adults. Dallas, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Good afternoon, Tiziana. Happy to be here.
So, Dallas, these changes in coverage include, I'm just going to give some examples, breast reduction surgery, genital surgery, speech-language therapy. How important are these changes, the ones that went into effect beginning of September, for trans and non-binary residents?
Well, these changes are just really, really important. And I want to have a big thanks here to the Trans Health Work Group at MassHealth. MassHealth uses these guidelines, as you said, to determine what care is deemed medically necessary and paid for. And these gender-affirming services really are life-saving medicine, right? They improve mental health and they also save lives. So by being able to cover many of these areas and also increase reimbursement, we're able to really expand care to the people who need it most and really ensure that trans folks in general and gender diverse folks and non-binary folks are just able to get this life-saving care, and they don't have to deal with the financial hurdles that often have huge mental health impacts on individuals.
So Dallas, so you've just put out the importance of it. So the next thing I want to understand is these changes, are they incremental changes, the next phase in a state that's very forward-thinking, or is this a tectonic shift in coverage for the Commonwealth?
Well, these have been really incremental changes since 2014. So in 2014, we really started to see a prohibition of discrimination against gender identity or gender dysphoria. And then by 2019, we started to see revised guidelines as well. But this is really a tectonic shift for our nation, right? So this is, I've been assured by folks at MassHealth specifically, that these are some of the biggest, most expansive changes, most progressive changes that we have seen across the country. And really, they're unparalleled compared to other private payers or government payers, too. You know, many, many other payers out there still do not have uniform clinical policies just to make coverage decisions.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I want to pick up on this point you just made. You said it was a tectonic shift nationally. Will this move the needle elsewhere? Will other states be watching this? Will it push other states to change state healthcare policy as well?
Other states should be watching this. And, you know, my hope is that other states are able to see that, you know, from the data, from the coverage that we're able to provide and the expansion of access, that we're actually able to, in Massachusetts, improve healthcare overall by caring for some of our most marginalized individuals. And when we're able to do that, we'll be able to see just healthier folks that are also utilizing less areas of a healthcare system in general and able to better take care of themselves. So the hope here really is that we'll be able to see the statistics bear this out. And we do see that whenever trans folks have access to healthcare, specifically gender affirming care, we see suicide attempts go way, way down to the national average. We see people that are better able to not engage in different substances, take better care of their body. It just makes sense. When you're able to feel at home in your body, you're able to be more healthy. And that means less utilization overall of insurance.
So I understand this term medically necessary is pretty important, both because it essentially means what's going to get covered, but also because it has a history of being a loaded term, given attitudes for our trans and non-binary communities. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, it is a loaded term. So, you know, throughout the history of healthcare, really, and especially trans healthcare, it's really been cisgender individuals at the table deciding who receives care and who doesn't receive care. And those individuals would decide what's necessary or not and what hoops you have to jump through or not. And really what MassHealth has done here is say, you actually need to jump through less hoops to actually be able to get the care that you need. And really the movement, especially in gender-affirming healthcare, is to move towards away from what's called gatekeeping and move towards really being able to provide patient-centered care, to listen to the patient. We're not assessing patients to see if they're trans, right? We are seeing someone for who they are and helping them to get to the place that they want to be. And that means really putting the power in the hands of a vocal and active and informed patient population and allowing that patient population to very clearly say, this is what's medically necessary because I need it and I decide it, not you.
Dallas, I want to ask this question thoughtfully. Some of these changes apply to those younger than 18. I know there's a good deal of controversy around gender-affirming healthcare for those under 18, both around the role of parents and legal guardians in authorizing care and in perceptions of whether young people are capable of making long-term decisions about their bodies and health. What do you say to those who will be concerned over this expansion of services to people under the age of 18?
Well, this expansion of services still requires assent and consent, right? So consent of the adults and assent of the child. This is a very thoughtful process. Whenever anyone engages in any type of gender-affirming care, we're not doing anything overnight. We're having intentional conversations with the family, with the kids. At TransHealth Northampton, we serve families of trans folks and trans folks because we want to keep families together, right? We want to be able to have those intentional conversations. And so if anything, this really gives more opportunity for parents to better understand their children. At the same time, we know that these interventions are protective. They help people's mental health when necessary and when there are appropriate clinicians that are evaluating this, which there will be appropriate clinicians. Nothing is changing about the type of care delivered. It's just the reimbursement for younger ages, and that's because we know that this is medically necessary. I'll just say that I have seen so many, you know, adolescents that come in and they have to live with parts of their body on their chest that they just don't feel right. They feel alien to them. And they have to really make it through some really tough times in life. So what MassHealth has done here has said, we're actually going to be able to start that conversation earlier. And we're going to be able to really help some of our most vulnerable kids here.
All right, that is Dallas Dukar. She is a nurse practitioner and CEO of the organization TransHealth Northampton. Dallas, thanks for your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tiziana.